Here's Neymar now. Cavani is there. Balotelli on the turn. Quality. Kalupa Kamano. Oh, what a strike! An absolute beauty for Florian Thauvin. Kylian Mbappe wraps it up.
Hello and welcome along to Le Beau Jeu. It is the final podcast of the season. The European finals have taken place. We've had the playoffs for promotion to Ligue 1 and promotion to Ligue 2. And we're going to have a special pod for you this morning, a special awards pod. And with me to discuss these awards, we've got three of our regulars, including commentator David Crossan. Hi, Dave.
Good morning, Matt.
We have Robbie Thompson opposite me as well.
Morning, Matthew, gentlemen.
Morning, Robbie. And to my right, Armel Tanguy is there as well.
Morning, everyone.
Good morning, Armel. Great to have you along. We'll start with just a little recap of what's happened since the last pod. I've had a holiday. Armel has
not had a holiday.
Has not had a holiday, but he's got a 10-match ban. I've just heard about
no,
this.
No, that's old news, I think.
I'm three games
He's already missed three or four
but
matches.
This is serious. We're not going to linger on it too long, but Armel, you've started this ban for headbutting a referee. Is that correct?
No, I think... how to defend yourself from that? No, that's not at all what happened.
Just wild, spurious rumours in the press, Matt. That
not helping my public image here.
But hang on, you're playing... It's like a pub team, is it? Or
it's amateur football. Casual.
And you get a 10-match ban. I mean, it must have been... What happened?
The ref lost it, and apparently he's head ref in the league, so he just didn't want to see me again this season, and there we go, 10 games.
Did you nutmeg him?
No, he booked me, and that's 5 minutes off.
Just nut him.
And then I kind of brushed past him on my way off, and he, yeah.
Okay, well, I think twice about disagreeing with Armel today. A Wimbledon supporter and clearly a passionate football player. Let's move on. I was talking about rounding up the news other than Armel's disciplinary problems. The big news last night, apart from France beating Bolivia 2-0 in a friendly, Dijon have stayed up. They got through. They prevailed in a two-legged playoff against Lens. Lens, who came fifth in the second division, but won through to that playoff final after beating Paris FC and Troyes. It finished 1-1 in Lens the first game, 3-1 the second leg to Dijon. Dijon, the 18th place team in Ligue 1, survive. And David Crossan commentated the game for us.
Well defended by Fortes, but under pressure now is Vashu and Saeed into the empty net. What a mistake from the man who's only playing because Jean-Louis Lecker was sent off against Troyes. 3-2 on aggregate to Dijon. Malfitano, one for Sliti to chase, another mistake from Vashu, and there it is, Dijon are going to stay in Ligue 1 Conforama, Sliti with his second of the night. What a mix-up between Fortes and Vashu. Dijon know they're safe now.
So Dave, it was quite close, 1-1 at half-time in the second leg as well, all square, and then the Lens goalkeeper had a bit of a shocker.
Terrible second half for Jeremy Vashu in what was his last game for Lens before he moves to Orléans next season. And he was only playing because the first choice goalkeeper got himself sent off against Troyes, Jean-Louis Lecker. So Vashu had to play this game. He actually played very well against Troyes, did okay in the first leg against Dijon, didn't look in too much trouble until the second half. He controlled a back pass from Fortes, had a chance to kick it into the stands. Instead, Cabba robbed him of the ball, passed it to Wesley Saeed, tapped it into the empty net. But then what happened in the very last minute when Lens was still in it? They could have gone up to Ligue 1 on the away goals rule. But Fortes won this header. Vashu came out when he didn't need to and clattered into the defender. The defender had to be stretchered off. It was a really nasty injury. It seems like he's okay now. But it was a very worrying time. And that allowed Sliti to walk in his second of the game. And Antoine Kombouaré managed to keep Dijon up.
Yes, we've been teasing Antoine Kombouaré a bit, saying he could become the first man to take two teams down in the same season. Kombouaré was sacked by Guingamp halfway through the campaign. Guingamp went down, but he's just about seen Dijon over the line, hasn't he, Robbie?
Well, he has. He's got them. He's fulfilled what he was brought in to do, which was save the side. They're 2 months ago, they were sitting rock bottom and they were looking in all sorts of trouble. I thought Gangon might pull a rabbit out of the hat and survive under Gorvenek. That was one of my magical predictions for the end of the season. You'll all remember very well. I think it's interesting to note that last year Toulouse stayed up as well. The Ligue 1 side stayed in, and it would have perhaps, you know, are we starting to see a trend whereby the Ligue 1 side that finishes 18th, given the playoff structure the way it is, I mean, Lens just couldn't get over the line last night, I don't think. They had run out of steam.
Extra time games, didn't
they? Played three matches in a week.
Three matches.
And two of them, were extra time. One of them went to penalties. It's a shame for Lens because they have fantastic supporters and it would have been great to see them. There were 7,000 travelling fans in Paris and Troyes for the first playoff matches, and they thought that great feeling and the passion could get them over the line. The first match, which I commentated last Thursday, they were very good in the first half, but Dijon did finish stronger and looked probably overall just edged it. And in the second game, I guess, that showed through.
Yeah, I think Dijon just had a little bit of extra quality in the end that Lens don't have ball players the way that Saïd and Slity can perform for Dijon, even if they've been performing only intermittently this season, and there's big debates about the future of lots of Dijon players, and indeed over Kombouaré. Straight after the game, he said it wasn't certain that he'd still be on the Dijon bench next season, and we know that there's interest in him from Amiens because Christophe Pélissier has left them.
They're aiming high then.
Well, also, Kombouaré was at Lens in 2016 after 3 years, and he said Vachu was the only player that was left in the squad from when he was there. So this is a squad without Ligue 1 experience, essentially, this Lens side. And that makes a big difference when you're in a playoff and you're coming up against Ligue 1.
He's a good man, isn't he, Antoine Kombouaré?
He took Lens down, let's just add that.
He also brought them up. But yes, and then he took them straight back.
Armel's slightly facetious comment there.
No, I like Antoine Kombouaré. He's a nice guy. He just didn't have his best season, did he? So
I was listening to the radio on my way in this morning, and they were comparing Vachu with the Loris Karius. And what happened in the Champions League final last year. Can we expect Lens to go for a Brazilian goalkeeper, 80 million, and win the Champions League next year?
No.
They're not qualified for the Champions League, so that would be tricky.
No, no.
But it would be good to see Lens back in the first division.
Yeah.
That season when they were relegated as well, Dave, they didn't play a single match at home. And that's so important for a club like Lens to play there. So they played at Amiens.
The comparison with Liverpool is obviously a bit ridiculous, except they do have that passion and that support, and they are a town like Liverpool that lives and breathes for its football team. I think we would all like to see Les Saints et Or back in the top tier, but it won't be for this season. By the way, we mentioned Christophe Pélissier has left Amiens to join Lorient. The Amiens coach for the last few seasons has done a wonderful job, and that is a big blow, I think, to Amiens supporters. They were desperate that Pélissier stay.
Lorient, the team he joins, the only team to have gone down in a playoff from Ligue 1 so far.
There you go.
Lost to Troyes, didn't they, a couple of years ago?
Yeah. True. Yes. Well done, Armel. You lost me there, but you're quite right. Pélissier's gone. André Villas-Boas is here. He is the new Marseille coach. We talked about him last week, a massive challenge for André Villas-Boas, who I think it's fair to say has a lot to prove, having had an exceptional start to his managerial career. He has, I wouldn't say disappeared off the radar, because he's been in China, he's been in Russia, and they have leagues of their own, and just because we don't watch it doesn't mean they've disappeared. But
does a bit of Dakar rally as well,
and
doesn't
he does
he,
a bit
Dave?
Of Dakar
yeah,
rally.
Yeah, a bit of Dakar, yeah. Bit of rally of Morocco.
That went not quite so
no,
well.
No, not so well. He flipped his car.
Well, yeah, but anyway, Marseille have got no European football to look forward to. They've got a big rebuilding job ahead. We've talked about that a lot in the last few weeks, but this week we are going to concentrate on the awards. The awards with a little bit of a difference, because we've had the official awards in France. So we've got some interesting categories this week that Ian Holyman, our producer, has whipped up for us. We're going to start with...
Hey, Matt, I hope are you going to do a sort of Ricky Gervais style host for us today?
Or Adil Rami when he's stands up.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the French Awards.
I'm sure we have a special jingle for the awards night, don't we?
I'm not sure, but what I would say before we get into it is you can please listen to our podcast, rate our podcast on all the different platforms, iTunes and Deezer and Spotify, etc. Feel free to send us your comments or questions. LeagueUnPodcast@gmail.com is our official email, and we always love hearing your feedback. We're going to start then our official awards with the club of the season. So the football club that has really stood out for you, and I'm going to throw that to my panel of experts. Anybody fancy taking this one on?
I'm going to go with an obvious one, perhaps for me. Paris Saint-Germain won the league, therefore, by definition, best team in the country, club of the season. There we go.
I'm going to stop. Let's go. A lot of people are saying that is PSG's worst season in the Qatari era. A lot of people are saying that, probably.
Which is, by definition, wrong, because there were two seasons in the Qatari era when they didn't win the league, as I've already said. So, by definition, if you win the league, it can't be as bad as the season when you
well
didn't.
Done. No, well done to Paris Saint-Germain and their team of minnows. Anybody else want to go with something a bit different? Armel?
Yeah, I'm going 8 places down the table and a little further south down to Nîmes. I think they're exceptional in their first season back in Ligue 1 25 years later. They scored so many goals. So many of them were really impressive as well. Great team to watch. Proper fans, down-to-earth club. Great weather down there as well, helps as well. Good season, finishing in the top 10. My club of the year.
But club of the year, you know, giving them that on the basis of the weather. I mean, I'm not sure that should be included in your
analysis. Reims had terrible weather and finished one spot above them.
Exactly.
And I think they deserve a shout as well.
Mm. Yeah, do they have crocodiles? You know. Nah.
But it is interesting. The two clubs that both came up and did so well to both finish in the top half of the table is a sensational result.
So we'll share the award three-way then, shall we?
Well, I haven't had my say yet.
Yeah, we'll have.
Sorry.
No.
David, your club of the year.
My club of the year for French football is Chelsea, Matt. I know this will make you happy. I know you're watching intently as your beloved Arsenal got thrashed by Chelsea 4-1 in the Europa League final. And what that did, it qualified Juninho and Silvinho's Olympique Lyonnais for the group stage. And it was good to see the old Ligue 1 boys, Eden Hazard and Olivier Giroud, doing their bit for the Ligue 1 game.
Dave, you've just been hit with a 10-pod ban.
It's tough, with believe me. 10 it's tough.
I haven't even headbutted you yet.
To clear the air, I didn't headbutt anybody,
apparently.
But it is a good point. I'll go with... I'm hesitating because there are two big clubs who have won trophies this season, despite PSG being the team of the season, according to Robbie. Strasbourg or Rennes. I'm really pleased because they've just come up a little bit short so often from winning that trophy. But I'm going to go with Strasbourg, 11th in Ligue 1, never in danger of being relegated. They were in the top half for much of the season. And of course, they won the Coupe de la Ligue and they are in Europe. And Strasbourg are a big club with a big following. And
Sold out every single match.
But one.
This season. But one. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
Who was that against?
They publish. Amiens. It's quite interesting. Yeah. It's interesting in France. They publish the average attendances and also the meilleur tour de remplissage, the teams that most fill their stadium. And it was interesting to see Strasbourg up there. Amiens as well. I think
that should be mentioned, Matt. It was a record year in terms of attendances in Ligue 1 this season, up on the previous record that was set last year. So it would have gone even higher had Lens gone up and Dijon had gone down. But yeah, boom times for French football.
Toulouse can follow. We'll all be happy.
Absolutely.
And by the way, Matt, you, saying those two other clubs that won trophies for the first time in a long time and how fantastic that is for them as well. And have you said yes, Nîmes was your club of the season. Let's not forget Lille, who had a fantastic season as well. And also Saint-Etienne, who are a big club.
How many choices
back in Europe?
That's the awards done. Thanks for listening.
So that was my top six clubs of the year. I had them all there. Well done, everybody.
I thought in the Oscars, they usually nominate 4 or 6 and then they pick one.
I went the other way around.
Nominate 6. Yeah.
I hesitated with Angers as well, just because I think that, you know, they're just a tiny little club and they just get the results.
And their coach, Stéphane Moulin, has re-signed on for another 2 years. He's the longest serving coach in Ligue 1. Yeah. He's been with the club for a decade now.
Fantastic. He is a top influencer, but perhaps not our choice for the next award, which is the Top Influencer Award. It's the person or the coach, the player in Ligue 1 who's been the most influential to his team. Do we have any offers around the table?
I did my homework based on just seeing the category name top influencer before this, and I've learned now that I'm trying to get down with the kids that top influencer
Careful.
Means that you have a lot of influence on social media.
You so have 10, I was going to go followers. I think
I was going to go with Mario Balotelli for the celebration that he did with the iPhone on the pitch, taking his selfie, getting it published at halftime. That's top influencing, but he's not the player most crucial to his side's cause. Sorry about this, Matt. I haven't got an answer for you.
Well, yeah. Oh. What you're saying there, Cesc Fabregas as well. I was amazed, and he's got more than 10 million followers. Or something.
10 million.
And,
How many accounts do you have?
I did an interview with him, and I got a like from him, and my followers just like suddenly, all Cesc's homies were like following me. It was amazing. They've since stopped following me. Robbie,
my influencer. I will go for another Portuguese coach, maybe who's dabbled in car racing of late, Leonardo Jardim, for a man that had a huge influence two ways on Monaco this season, almost took them all the way down to rock bottom, went away on an all-expense-paid holiday for 100 days, and then came back with a new improved contract. So everything on a personal level incredibly falling into place for him, and also the man that then pulled them back up and survived the drop at the last minute.
Pulled them back up. They limped to 17th place. I have to say, Robbie, I like you and I respect your views.
Thank you,
but your choices so far have been very underwhelming.
I want to hear
PSG and Leonardo Jardim.
Can I hear more about the car racing for Jardim?
Well, when during his all expenses paid 3 month holiday, he got into car racing and was often like back in Portugal and in the south of France. And in Italy, doing car days at racetracks, you know, where you can rent a car and you go with a racing car driver and they teach you how to drive fast. And he published it all on his social media accounts.
I can't wait for the next category. You're really making my morning here.
Armel, top influencer for you, please.
I'm going to go with a pretty obvious one, Nicola Pepe. I think he made all of his teammates look incredible around him. Jonathan Bamba, Jonathan Ikone, I think they're players who are full of talent but were made to look even better than they actually are by playing alongside Nicola Pepe. 22 goals for him, 11 assists, Lille second in the table. That's influence for me. So yeah, Nicola Pepe.
I'm going to go with another Lille player, but slightly more unsung player, Thiago Mendes, who when he's not there, they just don't have the same playing style, and they don't have the same cohesion and the ability to spring forward. And he's a guy who is just very neat and tidy, does his job well, his passing is precise, and a lot of teams are looking at him, including Ligue 1 teams, including PSG, including Marseille. So Lille are going to have a job on their hands to keep Pepe and to keep Thiago Mendes.
Shall I nominate another five players?
Go on, yeah.
Around the league, yeah, yeah. No, it's all right.
Go. All that have done car racing.
The problem is, by the time we
Jonas
get
Jonas Martin at Strasbourg?
Car racing?
Very important. No car racing as far as I know, but a great influence on that side as well. Hatem Ben Arfa at Rennes.
Great influence, yeah.
I think he gave them a certain belief, particularly in Europe, to go a long way. I think without Ben Arfa in that side and his ego and experience and big game player to bring the, like you're saying, to bring the best out of other players, Ismail Assar and Mbaye Nyong, I think both benefited.
Florian Thauvin, without him, Marseille would have been even worse.
Staying at Marseille.
I think we should move on. Another category would be good.
Yeah, I get the feeling that by the time we go around the four of us, Robbie suddenly thought about like better ones. So what we'll do, we'll go to the next category and we'll leave Robbie till the end. So you've got a bit of time to think. And we'll go to Dave first.
I've prepared all this.
Dave prepares.
Of all my choices.
Dave is a professional. Which coach would you want to... No, well, the next category is kiss, marry or sack. So you have to choose a coach and you have to decide whether you'd like to kiss, marry or sack him. okay. So,
which Ligue 1 coach is?
Well, explain it, Matt. I think it's one that you love with that you love. One that you'd marry, should stay with your club for a long time, or one that perhaps maybe divorce is better than sack.
Yeah.
Or yeah, maybe one night stand. You don't want to call him or her.
Can we include like a Rudy Garcia, for example, that is already sacked?
Yes, I think so.
Okay, let's go with it then. Let's start with Dave.
All right, how about we kiss Patrick Vieira, because I'm still a bit unsure. I want to see Nice develop next season. Did really well to get them to seventh. But honestly, it was they were games that were best watching on the live score ticker rather than watching them play. 30 goals they scored, 35 they conceded. Great, 16 clean sheets for Walter Benitez, but not attractive to watch. I would like to sack Alan Casanova. Sorry, Alan. I didn't want you to come back to Toulouse. I still find Toulouse tedious beyond all belief. No one goes to watch their games. As I mentioned before, when they lost 5-2 to Marseille, they played fun football, and we need to see more of that from him. More difficult. It has to be Christophe Galtier, though. Excellent job with Lille. Hope he sticks around. Hope he gets the backing.
A lot as well. So, you know, he'd give you a bit of exposure and love.
That's good to know, Armel. Yeah. Definitely want it to be a trusting relationship.
Exactly.
Armel, do you want to take this one on?
Sure, yeah. I'll start with my my marriage. I want to marry Thierry Loret. He's great.
He was one of my possibles because the conversation would be quite fun.
The conversation would always be good, and you'd always, you know, got that sort of, like going out with a French girl, you'd never know if she's in a good mood or not. Even when he is delighted they've just won the cup, he's twitching away and shouting at you. I think it'd be great entertainment. I want to marry Thierry Loret.
I think it'd be tough at breakfast. Like if you said something a bit stupid, like, you know, have you got any milk or...
I'm worried about Armel getting a 10-week ban from his French girlfriend now.
But I could just imagine him giving you a hammering in the morning. He said that you were going to buy the milk yesterday. You didn't do it. And yet every week, it's the same. So in a press conference with Thierry Loret, you've got to be so careful. Is that all of you, Armel? No, that's just Mary. Kiss and sack.
I think I'll try my luck. Give Dave a run for his money and try and get a tentative peck on Patrick Vieira as well. I think he's done a great job this season. And I think I can probably charm him a little better than David Crossan.
You could get another ban coming your way if you're not careful. A tentative peck on Vieira.
Yeah. I don't really know who I'd sack. I think probably Fabian Mercadal. He could do with a shave and just a bit of time off to revise things. Yep, that's my three.
Fair enough. Robert.
Okay. Thomas Tuchel, obviously. No, he had a fantastic season. Love him. No, he's been he is a great man to interview. Got along very well with him. In my work with This Is Paris, he's very interesting. He's very charismatic. He is very close to his players. I think the players really enjoyed working with him. I enjoyed working with him in my capacity as well. And I think he brought new tactical elements to French football that we hadn't seen before this season. He asked a lot of the players. He changed to this 3-4-3, 3-5-2, always mixing things up, playing with two playmakers. Tactically, it was an innovative season.
So. He could have played whatever formation he wanted, though, and still
thing
won
is, the no, thing but is, that's not the thing true. Is, Robbie, this that's is a joke, true. But you actually do want to marry him, don't you? This is supposed to be a lighthearted.
Well, hang on, because I could be in danger here of being in a big ban. A big ban.
Yeah, you're getting some glares from the corner there.
Yes,
exactly.
I can see
from
it.
Your better half, who, again, has provided an excellent breakfast this morning. Merci.
Marry Jean-Louis Gasset. And I think it's epitomized by the fact that he's actually leaving Saint-Étienne to go and spend more time with his family. He's a good man, Jean-Louis Gasset.
Matt mentioned rough wake-ups when I said marry Thierry Loret. Well, good luck waking up next to Jean-Louis Gasset.
I think he's matured a lot. I think he's taken a step back from the hustle and bustle of football and a lot of admiration for Jean-Louis Gasset.
And sack,
I think probably if we're allowed to choose players, the coaches that have been sacked already, Rennes getting rid of Lamouchi and making way for Monsieur Stéphane, Julien Stéphane, was a very, very astute piece of business.
Yeah, it's harsh to sack him 6 months after he's already been sacked, but you can do.
And did great work. He got them to a higher league finish then.
No, that's fair enough. Yes. Robbie,
no, but it's more for the fact that they've brought in Julien Stéphane. I think he's proved that he's been an excellent appointment.
All right, I'm going to kiss Christophe Galtier because he's just a fun, charming man. He's got this wink that just kind of makes you want to give him a big
that southern accent, Matt.
I will marry... I can't believe none of you mentioned this guy because he's just cuddly and he's just... loyal.
Frederic Antonetti.
Loyal. Who's the most loyal coach in Ligue
1?
Stefan Müller. He's just such a likeable guy and a down-to-earth, normal person.
Chasing windmills again, Matt.
Sorry?
Chasing windmills again.
Chasing windmills, yeah. Because in English, he's called Stephen Windmill, but in French, he's called Stefan Müller. And he has done a wonderful job at at Angers, and they're a very down to earth club, and I think it's a perfect fit. There are basically three people running the football club, and they've kept them up several seasons running now. And I remember reading an article in L'Équipe, and he was described as the sort of guy you meet in the boulangerie, and I thought that was quite accurate. So
he probably didn't enjoy that comment, to be fair. But
I see him more as a café de sport sort of guy, but we might get a game of table football in and then have a good chat.
Yeah, so sitting at the end of the bar with a little half and watching the football.
I'll bat for his side. I think I'd meet him in the gym.
And somebody who you wouldn't meet in the boulangerie, and that's why it's not the only reason I want to sack him, but it's one of them, is Rudy Garcia, because this season I've just found him very, very difficult to listen to. I mean, I think
to defend
in terms of his team, you know, it's been obvious that he's lost the dressing room, or has lost the plot. In any case, he doesn't know how to get this team to play. He's tried all sorts of things, as you do when you're struggling as a Marseille coach. He's left a lot of his top players on the bench because they haven't been performing. But what I find hard to stomach with Rudy Garcia is when the performances are average or even bad, he'll come into the press conference and, yes, okay, I understand you don't want to criticise your players, but it's always a long rant about the referee, about everything that's gone against them. And, you know, it gets to the point where you have to say more than that. And the fans are not stupid. The fans are fed up with all these excuses. And Rudy Garcia, I think, is a good manager, but it wasn't happening. And personally, I'm pleased to see the back of him. I'm not sure André Villas-Boas is going to be any better. But, yeah, Rudy, your time was up. So let's move on to our next awards category, bargain buy. There have been some interesting recruits, as ever in Ligue 1, lots of good young players, but also some good signings. I've got one in mind, but I'll throw it to the floor to start with. Anybody?
Oh, you go first, Matt. We haven't gone first yet.
Thank you. But I'm relieved because I think mine is is an obvious choice, and somebody probably would have gone for him. Youssef Attal of Nice has been absolutely tremendous and a real joy to watch, actually, because he's a very, very attacking right back. He plays wing back or right back, and he's even played
left wing
this season, only in one game, I think. But
got a hat trick though.
He got a hat trick in that game. So anyway, he's a young Algerian right back. He had one he grew up in Algeria, and then he had one season in Belgium with Kortrijk or Kortrijk, excuse my pronunciation. And he was signed for €3 million by Nice. And what a signing he has been. There were, at the moment, reports linking him with a €40 million move to Chelsea. We think PSG are interested as well. He is a youngster who still has, I think, some work to do, particularly on the defensive side of his game. But he's just an absolutely flying winger or wing back who just doesn't seem to feel any pressure. And we talked about it a few weeks back on the pod. He plays like he's in the yard with his mates, and he's brilliant to watch. So Youssef Attal, great bit of business from Nice. Armel?
Yep, I'll go with Mbai Nyong at Rennes. He came in on loan from Torino, and he's been brilliant for them this season, especially towards the end of the campaign. He's, I think, 11 goals in the league. He was their top scorer across all competitions, and they just this week made the deal a permanent one. I think he's cost them around about €15 million, but him on loan all season from Torino was a brilliant
move.
He hasn't
crashed his car this season, which is probably a first in his professional
this
career.
This was also a wink towards
that was at Montpellier,
next
wasn't it?
One.
Montpellier,
no,
it was in
and
Italy.
In Milan, I think it happened, possibly in Watford as well.
I think he might have had a crash at Montpellier as well, or something happened.
Yeah, he's better on the pitch than
when Roland Corbis was
Empire.
Coach there.
David?
Yeah. Mario Balotelli cost nothing for Marseille, at least in terms of a transfer fee, when he came in from Nice in January. Scored 8 goals in 12 starts. They had a run of 16 points out of 18, and that was inspired by him. If they'd managed to get him in last August, maybe Garcia would still be in a job. I know he cost a lot in wages, but, you know, goals are the most important things in football. They got him in for nothing. They could have spent €25 million on a player, and he wouldn't have done as well.
How many more awards are you going to give Mario Balotelli?
He's given me a percentage.
Yeah, I'm not sure everybody would agree, but they're all valid points you made, David. So we will certainly take it. Robbie?
I have several.
We won't agree with your choice.
Okay, so bypassing Colin Dagba, who had a fantastic season stepping up from the youth academy at Paris Saint-Germain, played several positions, was given huge responsibility by Thomas Tuchel. Aside from him, Arba Zanelli at Reims, January signing, 4 million from Heron Vain.
Brilliant shout. Kosovan international.
Kosovo international, incredible player, former Sweden youth international, born and raised in Sweden, but a player who absolutely set Reims alight when a side that was lacking attacking spark in the midway point through the season, and above all, a player I think that can go on to much bigger and better things. Even if he tailed off a little bit in the last couple of months with Reims, he wasn't so. But 3 goals, 4 assists, a fantastic introduction to French football for him.
You can have Jose Font as well if you want in this category.
Font, what a signing on a free, I think, from free
to China. His contract was cancelled by mutual consent.
Dave's allowed too. Well, I'm going to add Florent Mollet at Montpellier then. 1 million signing from relegated Metz and fantastic season for him.
Now, the next award, Robbie, is named. The next award is named after Robbie Thompson. It's called the Robbie Thompson Young Player of the Season Award, because for our regular listeners, you probably understand why Robbie has a bit of difficulties with ages sometimes and gets you know, three or four years out in certain categories. So we'll just say, Robbie, Vitorino Hilton doesn't qualify for this category at 41 years of age, but basically
this is just the
young player of the season.
No, best player of the season, surely, because the age doesn't come into it if you're asking me. So I'm going to go player of the season, Marquinhos. Poor Paris Saint-Germain.
Sorry, I just spat my coffee out.
Fantastic campaign for him. A young player who arrived at the start of this season, disappointed with not playing a leading role in the Brazil national team at the World Cup, and given a new lease on life, a new position by Thomas Tuchel, which he responded superbly. He was criticised from every angle after the loss at Anfield against Liverpool in the opening Champions League match of the season, where he was played in the centre of midfield. By the end of the campaign, he was playing a hybrid role, central midfield, central defender, where he decided when he stepped up, when he stepped back. Basically, he was the Franz Beckenbauer of Paris Saint-Germain, and a fantastic performance and of an intelligent footballer that we didn't know he was that intelligent and that versatile. So hats off, Marquinhos, fantastic.
He's a very, very good player, and I was buying most of that until the Beckenbauer comment came.
Can I just ask, how old is he?
He'd be 25.
Yes. Good, Robbie. No? Turned 25 2 weeks ago.
Ah, there you go. Oh, it must have heard. Oh, yes, he had a huge birthday party. I can't tell you any more than that. Before we interviewed all the players for a workshop. Yes. Yes. Okay, good.
Dave,
25.
Dave.
I think we're already dwelling too long on certain categories. So young player of the year, player of the season, Kylian Mbappe, 33 goals, best player in the league. That's all I'm saying.
I'll add my bit for David Crossan. Shout out for you. Jonathan Ikone, young player of the season. You can tell us all why.
Finished the season well.
9 assists.
Barely scored. But his stats in the first half of the season weren't great. Well, they weren't great until 2 or 3 months ago. But yeah, he finished the season brilliantly.
I think, if you can finish with 9 assists and David Crossan still thinks you're rubbish, you're clearly quite good.
I'm going to go for somebody who is player of the season and could qualify just about for the young player category as well. Nicola Pepe. We've talked about him. He's been absolutely fantastic to watch. And he's a player that obviously is, I wouldn't say unique, but he's an unusual sort of profile. And I remember when we talked to Christophe Galtier a few weeks back, and Galtier loves to compare players. I have to admit, he's made some ridiculous comparisons in the past. I interviewed him about Ricky van Volswinkel, and he said he's a cross between Van Persie and Van Nistelrooy, and that was a bit bizarre. He also compared Olly Selnes to Didier Deschamps. But when Galtier said that Nicola Pepe reminds him of Ribéry or Robben, you can sort of see it in that he loves, you know, cutting in onto his left foot, and he plays on the right hand side of the attack. But you know what? He's different to both of those two players, and this guy is going to go on to great things. Absolutely no question. And we are going to go on to the next category. We want to hear your comments as well. Ligue1podcast@gmail.com. ligue1podcast@gmail.com. We're going to go on to the out of left field newcomer, somebody who's just popped up. Now, around the table, we have guys who watch Ligue 1 week in, week out, often check out the Ligue 2 highlights and even some live Ligue 1 matches. Armel's shaking his head, but I know you do in your spare time. And yet, sometimes we get surprised. Who has popped up this season and caught your eye?
In between my binges of Ligue 2 highlights, I've managed to see a player that I really, really like the look of, and I think just because of his age, he's going to go on to great things. At the end of the season especially, he's 16-year-old Eduardo Camavinga. I've done a few of Ren games in the past few weeks, and he plays a central midfield role, which is an important role in a team. He's deep-lying as well, so he's clearly pulling strings in the way Ren play. He's played 7 games already in Ligue 1, 4 starts at just age 16, and he looks like one brilliant player. So keep an eye on Eduardo Camavinga.
Good shout, Dave.
Don't really get out of left field. Is that a baseballism? I'm more of a cricket man myself. But regular podcast listeners will know that I'm much like Armel. I'm a huge admirer of Nîmes, and the player I like best from them is Renaud Ripart. His first season in Ligue 1, he's 26, never stops running. Finished the season with a flurry of goals. He can play almost every position. He'll always work for you. Does his Matador celebrations. He ended up with 8 goals, and I've loved watching him. Yeah.
Dave's Renaud Ripart podcast will be out in a couple of weeks. Robbie?
Okay, I'm going with another Lille player, Rafael Leao, because I think he's a very young player, very raw still. If Lille are prepared to let Nicolas Pepe go as freely as they are, they don't even seem to be putting up much of a fight to hold on to him. It's because they know they have someone in reserve who can fill those boots, I suspect. Rafael Leao, who went on a run of scoring in 5 or 6 consecutive Ligue 1 matches, which was impressive. Kylian Mbappe did similarly. But for a 19-year-old, his first, he had a season, a promising season at Sporting Lisbon before everything went sour at that club. He signed on a free, and I think he's set for big things in the future, Rafael Leao.
I've noted two names because I assumed that one of them would be taken, but he hasn't. The other name I've got is Remy Udin, who I've loved watching for rounds, a bullet of a left foot. But my out of left field newcomer is Teji Savanier, the Nîmes midfielder, who you look at him and you think, this guy is 27. How on earth is this his first season in top flight football? The guy...
late bloomer.
What the French say is he stinks of football. That's what they say. Il pue le football, which means, you know, he's just a pure talent of a football player. And I was commentating the game against Lyon, probably his last game at the Stade de Costières last weekend. And you know, this guy, everything that left his foot was just perfect. He was flipping balls all over the pitch, playing. He plays in central midfield, and he's got a wonderful passing range. And he was. Tossing hand grenades into the Lyon penalty area.
Yeah, I think he has to be careful about his next move. I don't think he should go too high. I think he's one of those players that can, when he finds the right environment for him, he can excel. He's done that at Nîmes. If he signs for a big club, I'm not sure it could work out for him.
No, but we talk about the great midfielders in Ligue 1. We talk about Marco Verratti and their you know, Savanier for me has been the best this season by quite some distance, and I think you've got a point. You know, you put him in a Champions League game, perhaps, you know, in terms of his speed and his strength.
But the set pieces would still be strong. You don't need to be fast to send in those dipping free kicks that are so hard to defend.
And he's an old-fashioned footballer. He's just a super player.
But it's old-fashioned football hardly exists anymore, Matt. It's true that Nîmes play
it,
and it
works. He's the top assists.
Absolutely.
Anybody know what his teammates call him?
Deji.
Whopper.
If you look, if you just Google his name, it'll come up on the right hand side immediately in the first results. His nickname is Kui, apparently,
really?
According to his teammates, which is something.
Is that off a Wikipedia page?
Yep.
Danger! Warning!
Yep.
Warning!
It's been there for months, though. Okay. He's probably aware of it by now.
Thanks for that, Armel.
My pleasure.
We'll let our pod listeners go and find out what that word means. Perhaps.
That's Kui.
We still have four categories. So moving on, I think it's better to move on. Our Coup de Gueule or Les Misérables. So who's made you a bit miserable this season? Who do you think has been a flop or a major disappointment? Now,
Dave, you can recycle again here.
That's what we're all about.
Go, Dave.
Kevin Strootman. I've been describing him as the flop of the season for months, and I think even he because he's an honest man, would say the same thing. Second most expensive player in Marseille's history, behind Dimitri Payet, 25 million plus a bonus when he came in from Roma, a salary that's estimated at 4.5 million a year. And he's admitted now that he's on international duty with the Netherlands that he's going to have to go. That he's had a conversation with Jacques-Henri Hérault, the president, and the message to him was clear that without the Champions League, they can't afford to pay his wages. And Strootman says that he wants to be sold. He doesn't want to go out on loan.
I will go with, maybe this is a little bit harsh, but Alain Saint-Maximin, who really disappointed me this season at Nice when they needed a player to step up, hugely talented player. He's even missed out on the France under 21 squad after scoring just 6 goals this season.
He was good for a lot, certainly the first half of
but
the season.
There's never any final product with him, and
so
that's just
wasted.
So frustrating. So he's such a talented player. He wasn't helped by the fact that, as we just discussed earlier, Patrick Vieira's side were very defensive, that they were really geared to that, and often he was left to run out single, you know, plough lone furrows. But hugely disappointing season for me.
I'm loving this. There's more car crash references in another one of your picks here. Alain Saint-Maximin also involved in a few driving difficulties in his time.
Armel.
Back to the
back
category.
On the road.
Yeah. I think...
You're not one to talk about disciplinary issues on and off the field, Armel.
Back to the categories, thank you. I think a teammate of Kevin Strootman's deserves a quick shout-out in this category. He's not my pick, but... I'm an Abdenor. I mean, have you even seen him on Marseille's bench? He's only 29 years old. And
I thought he was a good signing when they got him on a 2-year loan.
Absolutely.
Hasn't played.
Well, the player at Toulouse was incredible.
Yeah,
was
and at Monaco. Good player.
Fantastic player. Yeah.
But speaking of Monaco, my real pick in this category goes for Nasser Chadli, who came in to Monaco at the start of the season to help them. And he's just been dreadful. 12 million euros. The last game he played before joining Monaco was a World Cup third place playoff. He's got near on 60 caps for Belgium.
He scored an incredible goal against Japan.
There'll be quite a few Monaco players listening to this feeling quite relieved, like Kamil Glik and Jemison. And, you know, they've been.
Probably.
You could pick most of the Monaco team. I'm not going to go for Les Miserables. I'm going to go for the Miserables. I'm going to actually collect. I'm going to go for a selection. John Bostock, Shea Yojo, Josh Madja, Jonathan Panzo.
What have they got in common, Matt?
What have they got in common? They're four English guys in Liga. Okay, Jonathan Panzo Jonathan Panzo's very young at Monaco. Josh Madja's only just joined. He's also young. He's just joined Bordeaux.
Sorry, go.
Shea Yojo's been very disappointing at Reims on loan from Liverpool. And John Bostock started the season so well. He knows French football. He played for Lens, was the player of the season in the second division under Alan Casanova. I thought this was going to be a really good season for him, and he's just faded. I know he's had some injury problems. He's spent much of the season either on the sidelines or on the bench, and I'm disappointed, as I'm sure he is, because there is an excellent player in there. But frankly, the four Englishmen have disappointed.
I think you're harsh on Josh Madja. He's only played a few games, scored a goal, then went off having completely done his knee in. So if he's listening, he'll probably be a bit disappointed.
Yeah, but it wouldn't work if I left one of them out. So
true.
I included them all. Game of the season, guys. There have been some crackers. Has anybody got one in mind that they would like to put forward?
I do. A victory for Paris Saint-Germain, funnily enough. At the Stade de Costière, the 4-2 win over Nîmes. I thought it was a fantastic match. It had so many elements that make football fantastic, including... fabulous weather, Armel, down there on the south coast. It was an August, a balmy August afternoon. Nîmes were down 2-0. Di Maria scored straight from a corner after trying at his 349th attempt. He got one straight from a corner. Paris were 2-0 up, and then Nîmes came back into it, led by this crowd, a fantastic goal from Bobichon. They hit the crossbar at 2-2. They looked like they were finishing over the top. Savigny also got a penalty. And then... Kylian Mbappe scored just an absolutely fantastic goal where he underlined how important he was going to be throughout the season for Paris Saint-Germain. For me, it was a match that had it all.
I'll go for a Paris loss. Shock.
Yeah, shock horror.
Balance.
Lille's 5-1 win over PSG.
Yeah,
it was just,
I had that on my list as well.
Yeah, well, I'll let you go.
I had category. Yeah. Might as well just stop the show now.
Yeah. No, it was great. It was sort of a culmination of Lille's brilliant season. Perhaps PSG didn't put up much of a challenge. It was a bit like playing against the under-18s, but it was great to see Lille well, Lille, any team really capable of thrashing PSG. It'd been since like 2000 that the Parisians hadn't been beaten by that many, and even that game was a bit dubious. But
that game was very suspect. I think it was against Sedan,
yeah,
and the day after the coach, Monsieur Bergeroux, was sacked, and there were rumours that perhaps the players had thrown in the towel on purpose. I don't think that was the case against Lille.
Also,
by the way, this season.
Just sorry, you say it's like it was like playing against the under-18s. PSG's lineup included Areola, Thiago Silva, Presnel Kimpembe, Thomas Meunier, Dani Alves, Juan Bernat, Marco Verratti, Kylian Mbappe, Julian Draxler. There are some handy...
Most of the damage was done after Bernat was sent off, and Armel knows how hard it is when you leave your teammates a man short.
Car crash. Car crash football.
Dave, what was your best game?
Lyon 4, Marseille 2. That was back in September. And I picked this game not only because it was very exciting, but because we already saw the two traits that characterised the seasons of the two Olympique clubs, that Lyon had already shown their inconsistency, their drop points against Caen, and they followed that up by beating Manchester City. And then they got this big win over Marseille, who actually started the season really well with Thauvin scoring every week. But Marseille conceding 4 there, and they ended up conceding over 50 over the season. And we saw their defensive problems. They tried playing with Luis Gustavo and Duya Chaleta-Sarr. Chaleta-Sarr was sent off, and Rudy Garcia never managed to hit on a stable back four that would perform for him week in, week out.
Good shout, good shout. I still have one match that I've noted. Saint-Étienne-Lyon, which is a game, it's a fixture that I just love working on, commentating, because it's a phenomenal rivalry, usually played in the right spirits. We do have...
But not always, which is also what you want sometimes.
Yeah, no, exactly. When I say the right spirits, you know, we have flare-ups on the pitch, usually involving Anthony Lopez. We have occasionally issues in the stands. Obviously, we don't want to see violence or problems in the stands, but it's always passionate. And that was another phenomenal game. Saint-Étienne were flying at that point. They
that's the 2-1.
They ended up losing 2-1. Last minute goal. Wait, I think it was 95th minute. Yeah. Moussa Dembélé headed in a Léo Dubois cross. Is that correct?
Fantastic goal. Yeah.
It was a terrific goal. But Saint-Étienne had had chances to go 2-1 up. They had a chance just before Lyon's winner. There was a double chance that Cabella and Loïs Diony managed to mess up, partly because Anthony Lopez was sensational.
Remember when Anthony Lopez crossed out Saint-Étienne off the Coupe de France numbers on the back of their shirt a couple of years ago? And there was every former winner of the French Cup was written into the numbers on the back of the shirt. And he crossed out Saint-Étienne every time they appeared in his number one on his shirt.
It's a fantastic rivalry. And from a neutral perspective, I do hope Saint-Étienne can keep going and keep progressing and keep pushing Lyon. Lyon are obviously in the Champions League now, and they still have the upper hand.
This gives me also a perfect opportunity to clear my name once and for all. if you cast your mind back, bear with me on this, to the game where I think Corentin Tolisso made a tackle so bad, it was Saint-Étienne-Lyon as well, that Fabien Lemoine, is it?
Yep.
Lemoine actually just left the pitch 2 minutes before the game ended. He said, I don't want to be playing in conditions like this if this guy's trying to break my leg. Tolisso didn't get 10 games. Okay? We'll end there.
Now, our penultimate category is best performance this season. It can be an individual performance, a team performance. I was thinking about going for Adil Rami at the awards ceremony because he was great with Pamela Anderson as a sort of backup in the background. But I'm going to go for Julien Brun, who was under a lot of pressure a couple of weeks ago. First Frenchman to appear on Le Beau Jeu, and didn't he do well, Julien? We expect him to be back next season. Just the one appearance for him. Thank you, Julien, for coming in. Thank you, Darren Tuller, as well. His performances have been outstanding. Andy Scott, as ever. So I'm going for a sort of pod-related. You guys can go for a more Ligue 1-related performance. Anybody want to step up?
You've got me madly trying to think of something a bit out of left field now, Matt. Trying to think outside the box. I'd all planned my final...
Just go for a PSG player.
Okay. Kylian Mbappe. 4 goals in 12 minutes and 57 seconds against Lyon, a match that was a very tight match, didn't know how it was going to go. He'd missed 4 clear-cut chances one-on-one, and he just exploded that match into a million pieces in Paris Saint-Germain's favour. 5-1 it finished. Bravo, Kylian.
I'm going for Kylian Mbappe as well. But in the game away to Marseille, where he was with Adrian Rabiot, he was late to the team talk, got dropped. PSG were struggling, didn't play well at all. Yep. And then Mbappe came on and turned the game. That's how good he is.
Fair enough.
I'm going to go with one for reasons extra sporting, really. Nicola Palois has had a horrible season, losing his best mate Emiliano Sala. Continued throughout and actually had a very good season sporting wise as well. So hats off to him.
That's a good shout. And I think a very valid point and an important point to make, because this season has been, of course, overshadowed by the passing of Emiliano Sala. It was good as well. We've had these incredible tributes from Nantes in the ninth minute of every game. And on Sunday, we had a tribute as well in the ninth minute of France against Bolivia, which was played at the Beaujoire, and Emiliano will live long in our memories. Our final category is a bon voyage. So we usually look ahead to next week and talk about which game we want to go to, but we're going to look ahead to next season. The fixtures haven't come out yet, but we know that we're going to have a couple of newcomers in the top flight and a couple of interesting trips. So let's go on a bon voyage. Well, I'm going to get us underway with a fixture that has a bit of a Portuguese feel. And actually, Ligue 1 will have a bit of a Portuguese feel to it next season. We know that Paulo Sousa is rebuilding at Bordeaux. I'm going to go, though, for a southern derby, Marseille against Monaco next season. They're two clubs who've had very disappointing campaigns. They need to rebuild. They need to get back in the Champions League. And it's going to be the special two against the special three. I'm not sure if Leo Jardim will appreciate being called the special three. But he's got a job on his hands at Monaco. He's got to rebuild another team. And of course, André Villas-Boas at Marseille, we're going to be watching with great interest.
I really do hope that every time you say his name, you say it like that.
Villas-Boas.
Movement as well. Yeah.
I think Monaco could be good next season. They've got a lot of talented young players who might just be better for the experience of this year. But anyway, keep moving.
You got a game, Robbie, or Dave?
I do. Game you want okay. to see? Paris Saint-Germain versus Olympique Lyonnais. I think Lyon have proven over the last couple of seasons that they're one side that can consistently beat Paris Saint-Germain. And that's where rivalries come from. That's where big rivalries come from. It's now 8 years since Marseille defeated Paris in Le Classique. So Olympique Lyonnais, that they continue growing. They've got a new breath of fresh air under Juninho and Silvinho. So hopefully they can continue. And that rivalry could take the next step up. I think it's got all the trappings of a big one next year.
A campaign for real football, which I've been on this crusade for what feels like decades now. I want to see tackles made. I want to see people trying to win headers. And this means that you've got to go to Brest. You've got to go to the western tip of France to watch Brest against Nîmes. That's going to be fantastic. I expect the ball to spend most of the time in the air being blown around everywhere because the weather's terrible in the west of France. And it'll be even better now that he's a free agent if one of those teams could sign up Andy Carroll.
I'll be travelling with Dave now that Gangon are gone. I've got to go to Brest and try and find some solace there.
I went to the Stade Francis Leblé a couple of seasons ago for a cup game, and it is a time warp back to the 1970s when it was last refurbished. Even the signs everywhere, it does pull le foot. Perhaps Tigi Savanier should go there.
Well, that's all for Le Beaujeu as far as the season is concerned. But we will be bringing podcasts to you throughout the summer. We'll be keeping you abreast of all the transfer news and everything you need to know about Ligue 1. So before we go, just a few people to thank, starting with the French League, the LFP, who are supporting this podcast. Thank you to our executive producer, Ian Holyman, who comes up with so many good ideas and sometimes not so good jokes every week for me. So my bad humour, I'll blame on Ian. Thank you to Stephen Willis as well, our Berlin-based technician, who's done such a fantastic job. Thanks to Eleonora and Robbie for being so supportive. We all turn up at their doorstep on a Monday morning, and they've allowed us to convert their lounge into a recording studio. It's been a lot of fun. Thank you, as I already mentioned, to Andy Scott, Darren Tulett, Julien Brun, and our current panel, Armel Tanguy, Robbie Thompson, and David Crossan. From me, Matt Spiro, it's time to wish you a very, very good good day, good week, and we'll be back again soon. All the best.
Happy holidays, everyone. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Bye.
Kalu for Kamado. Oh, what a strike. An absolute beauty for Florian Thauvin.
Oh, the pass is brilliant for Pepe. And Thauvin.
Saint-Étienne has surely won it.